Our Heavenly Father, we have heard your perfect word read to us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that my words now, though not perfect, would nonetheless communicate your truth in ways that help us and grow us and strengthen us and sanctify us through and through. May your Spirit be at work amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I shake this tin and it makes a racket. I shake this tin in exactly the same way, but it makes a quiet and gentle sound. The shaking is the same. The noise that comes out is very different. The noise is different because what is inside them is different. In this tin are a load of old rusty nails and old rusty screws. In this tin are little balls of tin foil. Imagine your life is like a tin. A tin that is shaken by the experiences you have in life. Work, family, school, ill health, aging, bereavement, money, marriage, singleness, all of these things shake us. And when we are shaken in various ways by things that are good and by things that are bad, gently or violently, as life is shaken from the outside, what is inside comes to light. It's revealed. So what comes out of your mouth and your life will depend on what is inside you. Anger or acceptance. Hope or desperation and despair. Disillusionment or gratitude. Truth and faith or doubt and unbelief. So imagine, for example, that there's a culture of heavy drinking in your workplace or in your extended family. You're mocked and ridiculed for not joining in. You're no fun. You make us all feel guilty. We can't relax around you. You're a killjoy. How do you respond to that? What will come out of you? What sound will come out of you? What will you say? What will you do in that situation? And this isn't just about the big things in life. It's the small irritations as well. Some years ago, I mentioned one of the things that irritates me, and I know it's true for lots of men. It's the dishwasher, isn't it? Why is the dishwasher not loaded properly? How do you respond to that? What comes out of you when it's all of a mess again? Well, in our psalm today, Psalm 141, we listen in on one man's battle to respond in a godly way to a good shaking. To evildoers who, verse 4, are tempting and goading him into eating their delicacies. What those delicacies were, we don't know. We can only imagine. But actually, that's good, isn't it? Because we can kind of put our own temptations in there and recognize that we face the same kinds of things and we have the same stuff inside of us. What are the temptations? What are the delicacies that attract you? Well, perhaps it's gambling. Perhaps it is alcohol. Perhaps it's the escape of pornography or the simple satisfaction of having a really good moan. But that's not all that's shaking David. Verse 6, he's also being shaken by people who accuse him of lying. And if ever that's happened to you, you'll know how hard that can be. So let's listen in on David's prayer and see how he asks the Lord to help him respond to this temptation and this mistreatment. How he gets beneath mere behavioral outward change to the deep change within his heart, which is where the noise really comes from. So, I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear my prayer when I call to you. Whatever shaking David is experiencing, his first reaction was the best, wasn't it? He calls out to the Lord with urgency. Come quickly to me. He wants to know the Lord right there with him in this situation, ready to help. But he also wants his prayer to be a good prayer, from a good heart. Not selfish, not just to make life easy for him. So David doesn't pray, stop the shaking, silence my accusers, make them stop, take this away from me, make my life easier. No, from the outset, he wants his prayer to please the Lord, to smell good. That's the point, isn't it, here? May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. May my prayers be pleasing to you, O Lord. It's like we heard earlier in the Lord's Prayer. May your will be done. And we've already seen from verse 6 that David has been accused of lying. And he's upset, as you or I would be. And we know that our reaction might well go beyond just being upset. You see, when this sort of thing happens to us, our imagination goes into overdrive. When we're criticized unfairly, what happens first is that we become our own defense lawyer. We rehearse our case over and over as we lie in bed, don't we? And we protest our innocence. But I didn't say that. Or if I did, it's not what I meant. I was trying to be helpful and they're misrepresenting me. It's not what I meant. And then after we've mulled that over and over and over and over, then we become the prosecuting lawyer. It's unfair. They're deliberately twisting what I said. And we search around for allies, for witnesses who will come to our aid. We tell our friends what has happened in the hope that they will join in with our indignation and make us feel better because it's all their fault. But that's still not enough. We move from being the lawyer to being the judge. We put ourselves on the judge's bench and we sentence our accusers. The punishment is our own vengeful words and actions. And in all of this, the idea of turning to the Lord in prayer hasn't even occurred to us. We haven't called to the Lord, come quickly, hear my prayer when I call to you. May my prayer be pleasing to you. That's what David did. As his life is shaken, he opens up to the Lord. He opens up, not asking for a change in the situation, but for a change in his heart, a change in his response. So he prays, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. So let's notice what David is praying here. First of all, he prays that the Lord will protect his lips from that immediate, angry, vengeful, self-defensive response. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Don't let me snipe or gossip. Don't let me retaliate or escalate the situation. That's a good place to start, but we need to go further. And David does that. He goes deeper because he knows where words come from. Don't let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds. Don't let me be drawn into a fight on their terms. It's almost, isn't it, as if David knows what Jesus would say hundreds of years later. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. Again, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Do you see, what comes out of us depends on what's inside us. If the tin's empty, you don't hear anything. If the tin's got something soft inside it, soft noise comes out. And David knows this. He knows that it is the desires of his heart, what he really wants out of life, that will drive his words and his actions. So, you know, if in your heart you want revenge and self-justification, then you will respond vengefully. But if your heart wants peace and reconciliation, you'll respond very differently. And David knows his heart. He knows that his heart can so easily be drawn into evil ways. He knows that he could become his own defense lawyer, prosecutor, judge, and executioner. Now, of course, it wouldn't be wrong for David to want truth to be known and to be properly vindicated. Nothing wrong in that. But good desires so easily become obsessions, something we just can't let go of. And then it's become evil, and we've joined in with the evildoers. So David is very well aware of the danger. I wonder, to what extent are we aware of the dangers in our own hearts, the tendencies we have, the way we tend to respond? And often it's in the little things that those things that it's revealed. Well, then David goes deeper still. And I wonder which of us would dare to echo his prayer in verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My feet will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers. I wonder when the last time was that someone rebuked you. He told you that something you'd done really just wasn't really very helpful or godly. If you've got teenage kids, you know that they're often very good at telling dad, particularly when he stepped out of line. But do we listen? When did a Christian brother or sister last have the courage to tell you that you were drinking too much? How would you respond if someone said, you know, do you think that perhaps you really need to make sure you're there when Steve Midgley comes to talk about anger? Because I think, you know, it would help, wouldn't it? How would you respond if your spouse or a friend said that to you? Well, David prays that a righteous man would strike him. Let a righteous man strike me. Go on, do it. That's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That's oil on my head. It's a blessing. It's a kindness because when someone says that to us, it might reveal something that we haven't seen about ourselves. It might stop us persisting in sinful words or actions. So for David, a rebuke is this anointing. It's a blessing. And he won't refuse the rebuke. He won't run away from it. My feet will not refuse it, he says. He won't run away because he doesn't want to be drawn into doing the things that evil people do. He wants to be rebuked. He wants to be brought back to the ways of the Lord. You remember, I'm sure, that Jesus said he was like a vine and we are the branches growing in him. Every branch that bears fruit, says Jesus, the Father prunes so that it will bear more fruit. See, being rebuked is part of that pruning process. The aim and the result is that we bear more fruit and live lives more fruitfully. That's a real blessing, isn't it? But Jesus also says that every branch that does not bear fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. That's the realization of David's prayer there in verse 6. Their rulers, that is the rulers of the evildoers, the devil, we might say, their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, from their high perches of superiority. And the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. David will be vindicated. He knows that vengeance belongs to the Lord. The Lord will judge the wicked. The wicked will see how wrong they were one day. There will come a day when they will say, verse 7, as one ploughs and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. Now, when we're suffering at the hands of false accusations, when we're suffering at the hands of wickedness and evil, it is good to know, isn't it, that the Lord will one day judge. When we look around the world and see the evil that is out there in the world, it is good to know that the Lord will one day judge the world. He will cast down the evildoers. There will be no more evil in the new heavens and the new earth. So God's judgment is love. Love expressed because love does not tolerate evil. Love does not tolerate evil in other people. Love does not tolerate evil in ourselves. And perhaps that is more important. Well, it would be easy for David to stop there, to almost gloat over the fate of those who are enticing him. But he doesn't stop there. He returns to his own heart and life lived in the presence of the Lord. My eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. You see what he's saying? He's saying, look, I know I'm not perfect. Greatest Lord, Sovereign Lord, I rely on and I keep my eyes fixed on you, on your mercy and forgiveness, because I know I need it. Otherwise, I too would be handed over to death. So he says, keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. He's saying, Lord, I know I am morally weak. Well, his track record proves that, doesn't it? I know I'm easily led, so Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. You and I, we know, don't we, that there are rusty nails inside of us. But there are also some softer tin foil balls. I'd have used cotton wool, but that really wouldn't make a noise at all. We know that life shakes us. Even good things. When life's going well, we can become complacent. We can forget about the Lord because life is just full of so much good stuff. Well, why do we need God? But also, of course, when trouble comes, when pain comes, when suffering comes, when evil comes, life is shaken. And when that happens, before that happens, let's be praying for the Lord to guard our lips and our hearts. And rather than getting angry when someone lovingly points out a fault to us, let's see it as a kindness. Let's rejoice. Let's thank them for being honest with us. Someone is helping us to become more like Christ, to live the fullness of our humanity. Now, perhaps there is a particular rusty nail or two in your life that makes an unpleasant sound regularly in response to particular situations. If you're aware of that, then seek help. If it's anger or frustration or a desire for alcohol or pornography, then seek help. Phil and I, we're not easily shocked. We've heard most things. So come and share that. We won't condemn you. We will want to help you to deal with those things and to change your heart. But first of all, before that, before anything else, turn to the Lord. Call to the Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Hear my prayer when I come to you. And pray that prayer as you read scripture daily. As you go to your growth group, as you come here on Sunday mornings, pray, Lord, show me the nails in my heart. Change them, soften them. Make my heart good, like the Lord Jesus. It's a process that we can embark on with courage. It will take some courage, and with hope, in the hope of change, because one thing is clear from Scripture, the Lord does change our hearts, even when we can't change themselves. And maybe we've been battling for years trying to change ourselves, and we've not managed to do that. Then we turn to the Lord and the people he has given us and the gospel he has given us. And we find that, yeah, we can change. Not overnight, but over time and with help, our hearts can be changed. And when our hearts are changed, the noise that comes out of us changes as well. Let's be quiet for a moment and I'll pray. O Lord, we call to you. Come quickly to us. Hear us when we call to you. Set a guard over our mouths, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of our lips. Do not let our hearts be drawn to what is evil. O our Heavenly Father, we do find change so very hard. And yet, in a sense, we do want to change as well. So please help us. Help us to help each other. Help us to be more open and honest about the realities of our hearts, so that the words of our lips and the deeds of our hands might be more like those of Christ. So help us, we pray, and help us to help each other here at St. Peter's, for Jesus' sake.